1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are exploring the letter 1 Peter, this letter written by one of Jesus' apostles named Peter or Simon, was written to a group of Christians who had been scattered all over Asia Minor, northern Asia Minor, which is today modern-day Turkey. They were being harassed and persecuted by the Roman government. Some were jailed, some were beaten, and others were killed in horrific ways, including being mauled by fierce animals. They were burned alive, and some were even crucified. Simon Peter wrote to these Jesus followers to encourage them to stand firm in their faith and to live their lives so that it would reflect God's kingdom in their lives, in their hearts, in spite of the persecution they were experiencing. He told them to be hopeful. Live in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He told them to be holy, to live into the holiness, experiencing the holiness of God, and to understand that they were cleansed and purified through the Spirit of God. And this morning, I want us to explore what Simon says today. Simon says, be special. I want you to come back with me to the days of my youth, about three blocks away from where I grew up on the east side of Buffalo. I grew up on Herman Street, three blocks to the west, Johnson Street. There was Johnson Street Park. It was a typical park, had one basketball court, and as a young boy and loving basketball, I would go to Johnson Park. And I wasn't really that good at playing, so I would just go and watch the guys. And there were some fierce ball games going on at Johnson Park. The Staples family, which was a big family that lived right down the street from Johnson Park, a guy by the name of Fred Staples, he was like king of the court. Everybody wanted to play with Fred Staples. I went to school with his little brother, Benjamin, who was also a good basketball player. But as I grew older, I began to learn the game and begin to play. You would go to the court and you would, first game of the day, which would be early in the morning. This is back in the days when kids used to go outside and play and go to the park. My mother, I'd wake up in the morning, my mother would say, "I don't know what you're doing today, but get out the house and go do something." And we went to the, I would go to the park, be early in the morning sometimes, 9, 10 o'clock. And that's when the games would start. They'd get two captains, usually be the two best players. Fred Staples was always a captain, and there would be someone else. And then they would pick teams, and people would want to be chosen to play basketball at Johnson Park. And, and get on with these fierce basketball runs. Well, if you weren't good, you know, you just weren't chosen. All right. And maybe later on, after a team would lose, there'd be some others on the side that would have winners, and maybe you get chosen in. But a lot of times I went home, I was never chosen. But there came a time where I got good enough to play, and I got chosen. And there were even times when I was a captain, because I could play a little ball, y'all. I could play a little bit. But still, there were some who would go to the court, and they were never chosen. They always went home at the end of the day, you know, never being chosen to play ball. There's only one basketball court. So those who weren't chosen, sometimes they'd get a basketball, and while, you know, the teams were at one end of the court, they'd try to shoot, in the free basket. But then there'd be a fast break coming down, and they'd be in the way, and they'd get yelled at and screamed at and cursed out. There's even one incident I remember when I was younger at the court. It got bad. Somebody pulled out a gun, told a kid, "Get off the court. Stop messing up our runs." That's how serious ball was played at Johnson Park. So there were times that, you know, there were people who just didn't get chosen. They didn't get picked. Now, having been someone who at times never got chosen to play, I know the feeling of being rejected, not feeling good enough, not feeling a part of anything, feeling like a nobody, feeling alone. Anyone recognize that feeling? You ever been in a group and it seems like everyone's doing something, but because of, you know, you don't have the ability, or you don't have the credibility, like you're just kind of ostracized. You're on the outside looking in. I wonder if the recipients of this letter, of 1 Peter, were those who felt like that. They felt rejected. They felt inadequate. They felt low. They felt like they weren't good enough. They felt like they weren't part of anything. They felt like the plague. You know, everyone avoids the plague. Nobody wants the plague. I shared with some of you a couple years ago regarding my trip to South Africa. I was talking with an African man who lived. He was an immigrant to South Africa, but he grew up in the Congo. And he shared with me his remarkable story of survival, you know, being forced at, you know, age 8, 9, 10, because the family couldn't get work. There were some Europeans that would come and would hire these kids to go dig in the dirt to go find jewels and gold. And they would go down, and, you know, no safeguards for their lives. And there were several of the kids who ended up being buried alive. Those who were fortunate to survive would come up with gold or diamonds, and the Europeans would take all of those precious jewels or metals and would give the kids $10. They would go to Europe and get thousands. They'd give the kid $10, and that $10 was the money they took back to their family to try to take care of their family. Then he talked about when he was a little bit older, he was recruited by the army in Congo to fight in wars as a 12-year-old. Eventually, he and his brother, they escaped the Congo and made it to South Africa. And I remember sitting down and talking with him. We were just talking. He was telling his story. I told him that I was a seminary student. He said, "Oh, you're a man of God. I have a question to ask you." I remember him looking me in my eye and saying, "Why does God hate black people?" And then he just began to continue telling the stories of horror in the Congo and all over the continent of Africa, and even there in South Africa where he lived. He's, "Why does God hate black people?" That led to us sitting down and talking for hours. He He's a champion espresso maker. He goes to competitions and make espresso. So I drank some espresso and I was up like for the like rest of the week. But we talked about God. I talked to him about God's love. I talked to him about the unfortunate experience of several people on this earth that probably feel the way that he does, that doesn't really feel God's love. But I tried my best in the moments that I had. I was only going to be in Cape Town for a couple days, and I would, you know, run into him again, and we would talk more. We're still friends on Facebook. I even left giving him a gift. I gave him one of my watches. I wanted him to remember me and know that there are people on this earth that share. I was hoping that friendly conversation from another Jesus follower would be helpful. Now, these early Jesus followers had to have felt the pain of the rampant persecution and rejection and mistreatment and imprisonments and death. So much so, I could imagine some of them saying, "Why does God hate us so much?" Already, Simon has shared with the readers of this letter that they are the recipients of God's grace. Later, he will speak of the suffering that Jesus endured on for our benefit. He will express that because we are followers of Jesus, it is likely that we will experience the same fate as Jesus. We'll get to that in later lessons from in this sermon series. But before we go there, and before he goes there, Simon is trying to reestablish a fundamental truth that has escaped the hearts of the people experiencing the persecution. You see, remember, under the Emperor Nero, who was in charge at the time, it's rough. Nero was noted to just being or having a general hatred of the Christians for no apparent reason. What would you expect from a man who ordered the assassination and killing of his own brother and his adoptive mother? He ordered hits on his family, had them killed. He had no morals, and killing was just something to do. And the cumulative impact on Christians led them to believe that they were nobodies. They had no value. They felt rejected. They felt like that kid walking away from the basketball court, like nobody wants me near them. But thank God, he sent them a messenger with a message to tell them that they were somebodies, that they had identity, that they had a place in this world. A messenger to come and tell them that they were special. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 again, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." That same text from the Message translation. "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he has made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted." Simon says, be special because you are special. You are God's special people. You are his possession. You are a peculiar people. Some of the texts will use the word peculiar. A people God will call his own, his very own possession. You don't have to walk around feeling dejected or rejected. God calls you his own. You belong to him. If only the followers of God would understand this identity of belonging. If only followers of God would embrace this calling to be more than a blip on the screen. If only the followers of God would assume their position in God's world as people who possess a high calling to be special. First, know that we are cut from the same cloth, that of Jesus Christ. He is the stone upon which God has built his house. Yes, he was rejected by humans, but he was wholly and fully accepted by God. And upon the rock, Jesus, God has built his church. Upon the stone, God has advanced his kingdom. And as God continues to build, those who have received God's grace through Jesus Christ have become living stones. So even though the persecution is hot and fiery, the people of God are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. Church, that's special. I don't know if you follow sports the way that I do, or some in this audience do. There's a thing called sports dynasties. We're in the midst of a sports dynasty in basketball that we may be coming to the end. But if you follow basketball, the NBA, the Golden State Warriors, for like the past 5 years, it's been a special team. You know, it might not be special to you if you don't root for them, if they beat your team all the time, but it's a special team, and it's built up with some special people. Some people with some really good skills, and they, what they are doing right now is special. And barring some injuries that they had late in the season, they probably would be experiencing another championship. I don't want to take away from the Toronto Raptors, and who won the NBA championship this year, and you know, they did good. I rooted for Toronto Raptors. I'm glad they won. I don't like the Golden State Warriors, but we cannot ignore that what the Golden State Warriors has done over the past 5 years is something special. What God is doing with his people is something special. He is doing something special with us in this world, and it is something that is living, that will not die. We are a special people. There are those who rejected Jesus, but the recipients of this letter are not those people. They have become God's elect, and so these people are a chosen people, selected, not rejected. We are all in the ball game. No more walking home alone because we weren't selected or chosen. We are on God's team. That means we have value. These special people, we are those special people. We are a royal priesthood. We have been given the role to serve as priests to one another and in the kingdom of God. We can confess sins to one another. We can serve one another. We can offer praises and sacrifices to God on our own behalf. Don't have to go to someone else to do that. We are a kingdom of priests, royal priests. We serve one another in this priesthood. We can pray for one another. We can share the gospel of Jesus with others. And because of that, we have significance. This group of special people are a holy nation. We are anointed. We have the Spirit of God. We have been cleansed and purified by God. We have been transformed. We are different. We have connection to the Most High. Because we are a special people, we are God's special possession. If he has a trophy case, we are front and center in the trophy room. When people walk in the trophy room, God's trophy room, the first trophy they see is us. We are his prized possession. We are his special people. And because of that, we have identity. And we are his special people, a people who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, the ekklesia, the called out. That's the Greek word for church. We are the church, from nothing to something, from nobodies to somebodies. We have a God to worship and a message to share. And because of that, we have a responsibility. Simon says, since you are special, be special. As God's special possession being built into a spiritual house, our role is to bring awareness to God through our lives. That's what the ancient nations of Israel and Judah were to do, and they lost their way. That is what the church has to do today. And many times we lose our way. It may be the result of pressure from the world, or it may be that we're just mentally and spiritually worn down or wore out. You know, that's the problem with bullying in our society. More and more we talk about bullying and raise the awareness of bullying. It seems it's continuing to get worse, you know, whether it's through online or whether it's through physical bullying or people being built up, and you have young people who are taking their own lives because the pressure is just so bad. It's so hard on them, and they just don't feel like they can survive in this world. Maybe in a spiritual sense, that's what's going on with some of us, that we're just so worn out. We've lost our way, and we forgot that we are God's special people. A poll taken several years ago reported that 75% of people in America identify colleagues from church as the most important network in their lives. You got to unpack and try to understand that poll. When asking people, when you need to connect with somebody, when you need something, whether it's you need a job or you need help or you need comfort, you need, who do you go to? 75% of the respondents said somebody at church. And I suspect that is whether they go to church on a regular basis or not. I have people that don't go to church that will text me. I have former barbers who I used to go to. They don't go to church, but when they're in a bind, they'll text me, "Hey, Pastor Dion, I got a question. I need some help. I need to talk to somebody. We need to understand that for so many people in the world, we are their conduit to God. We're their conduit to grace. We're their conduit to healing and mercy. We better take our place as God's special people. I recently read a story of a visit by the President of the United States to a nursing home. The President entered the facility with his entourage and his security, Secret Service, and was received by delight by most of the elderly folks in the home. But the President noticed that there was a woman in there that didn't look too thrilled. You know, the President knows how to work the room, and he's working the room. He's going around. He's shaking hands and greeting people. And he goes to the woman and takes her frail hand and shakes her hand. And she smiled at him. And then he asked her a question. He said, "Do you know who I am?" And the lady said, "No. But if you go to the woman at the front desk, she can tell you who you are." There may be times in our lives that we forget who we are. And in those moments where we forget who we are, Simon says, "Be special." Simon says, "You're chosen." Simon says, "You're a royal priesthood." Simon says, "You're a holy nation." Simon says, "You are God's own possession." Simon says, "You're like Jesus." Sometimes we need to go to Jesus and be reminded who we are. It's important that we do that church, from time to time. Yeah, it may be that we're not experiencing the fierce and fiery persecution that they were experiencing back in the first century. But let's be honest. Many of us throughout our lives go about the day not having a good view of ourselves. Am I speaking to aliens here? Anyone here ever felt like, man, I just don't feel like, I don't know who I am. I can't do anything right. Or I know back few weeks ago, months ago, we talked about the problem of comparing ourselves to other people. But we do that a lot, don't we? Man, how come I'm not where that person is? Or how come I don't have a life like that person? Sometimes we need to come to Jesus and be reminded who we are. Simon says, you're special. And you've been created by a special God to do special things on this earth, on this planet. We have been empowered with a spirit, the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. I think we all acknowledge that that's a pretty powerful and special spirit. We have that spirit living inside of us. We are living stones with the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And so in 2019, church, Simon says, be special. Let's pray. God, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing upon everyone in this room, those who have said yes to your free gift of grace. God, I pray that those who have said yes to your grace will take their rightful place as your special people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who have been called out of darkness into your marvelous, your wonderful, wonderful light. And as people of the light, I pray that we would live lives in such a way that it would radiate and bring people to you, that we would show your light, radiate your light, so that people would be drawn to you. God, I'm praying for the men and women in this room right now that just don't have a good view of themselves. Life has taken its toll on them. Situations and circumstances have convinced them that they're not valuable, that they're not wanted, making them feel rejected. God, may you right now speak to their heart. Give them a sense of belonging to you, God. God, whatever you need to do to invade their space and invade their lives right now, I pray that you would do it, that you would whisper in their ear your love for them, your care for them, your desire for them to be a part of your holy nation, your chosen nation, your royal nation, your priestly nation. God, thank you for communicating your love to us in so many ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the church could be helpful to you in helping you to reclaim your identity in Christ Jesus, as we're singing this song, if there's a way that we can be in prayer for you, we want to be in prayer for you. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, we are also here for you to do that. Let's stand. Let's sing.